How many of you know the Lord hears you? No matter what is happening in your world, the Lord hears you. I want to welcome our campuses today. North Campus, would you help me welcome all of the campuses that are joining with us? We're glad you're with us today. This is a great weekend for Love and Truth Church. All of our youth are out on a retreat. And so I know if you're like me, I looked over here while I went, where are all the youth? And I remembered they're all gone on a retreat this weekend. It's been powerful and fantastic. I already heard some great reports back from that. And we just welcome you. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And whichever location you're at today, we're glad you're there. We believe that you've already encountered wonderful people, the marvelous worship today. And now we're going to together into the Word of God. Would all of you here, as well as all our campuses, let's do our confession. We've been doing this year. So grab your Bible or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, or just hold your hand up. I don't care. All right. Let's say this together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that today, that our lives are being changed. I started last week talking to us on this whole aspect of thy will be done. So we're going to continue that today. We began last week talking about transition, how that when change comes in our life, I don't know about you. I heard one time somebody say that the only person that likes change in a church are the babies in the nursery. You can get the deep theological implications of that, all right? And we talked last week about how that happens in our life, in our world, all the things that go on, and how that you and I have to come to that place. We looked at Daniel and his life and how that he had to had to be willing to say, Lord, your will be done. Use me even in the midst of a horrible situation in bondage, all the things that God did through him. Today, I want to talk about an aspect of life. I want to turn our attention in just a moment to the book of Matthew. But before we go there, let's go to the book of 1 Peter, which is our foundation scripture for this series. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says this, in this you greatly rejoice. Now, I would love to read that. In this you greatly rejoice when everything's going well and you're full and you got plenty of money and all the kids are healthy and the marriage is good, right? But that's not what he says, is it? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, at his return. Now, in all of our, I'm going to talk today out of the book of Matthew about three men that are given some things that are very precious. Now, here's what I want to say to us before we get into that. Each and every one of us have been given the most precious thing in the world. And we think things are precious. Things are precious, you know, money's precious and gold is precious and houses and land, our family. The most precious thing that you have is your life. Amen. There's nothing any greater. There's nothing worth any more value than your life. Jesus Christ gave himself, the Bible says, for you, for your life. And so there's nothing any more precious than that. But today I'm going to turn our attention about how that you and I live our lives to the glory of God by what we do with what God has given us. How many of you believe that God has given you some talent, some abilities, some things in your life, right? I believe with all my heart. Who was it? Ethel Waters that used to sing for Billy Graham years ago said, God don't make no junk. Right? And that really is true. God does not make junk. And so the Bible says you are created in the image and in the likeness of the Almighty God. So therefore, you are precious. In fact, would you just look at your neighbor and say, God says you're precious. right? And so when we understand that, then we begin to live life. Now today I'm going to talk about talents. And when we hear that word talent, a lot of times we think about maybe musical ability or speaking ability, or maybe you've got a talent for a certain profession or a business. And that is true. But in Scripture, in the book of Matthew, if you want to go there, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Now, for the sake of time, so that I don't go, you know, where you're thinking that I'm going to preach for eternity, I'm not going to read the entirety of that setting. But let me just set it up for you and tell you what happens. The Word of God says that there is a man who is a businessman who owns a great business. He's getting ready to go away for a journey. He's going to be gone for a while. I mean, it's not like he's going away for a vacation. He's going for a year, 2 years, 5 years. We actually don't know according to what Jesus is telling here. But he's going away for an extended time. The Bible says that he calls three men in. I'm sure he called the three top guys in his company in. And the Scripture says that he gave to them talents, okay? Now, when we hear that word talent, again, we think, you know, ability. In this, and we'll use that a little bit later, but in this passage, when it talks about talent, it's talking about money, all right? And as, in preparation for this series, I began to do some research to try to figure out how much is a talent worth, because to one man, the Bible says he gives five talents. To another man, he gives two talents, and to one, he gives one. And so when we look at that, we go, man, that poor guy just got one talent. Well, when I researched this, what I found out was this, is that a talent, according in our day and age, would be worth $350,000. Now, all of a sudden, the story changes, doesn't it? Because one guy gets $1.5 million. Now, come on, you should have got more excited than you just did. I guarantee you, if tomorrow morning your boss calls you in and says, hey, by the way, I'm getting ready to go away and I'm going to give you $1.5 million. Yeah, you do some shouting. You know, remember when they used to grab Bob Barker and jump him all over the stage? You'd grab your boss and, you know. So one guy gets $1.5 million. The second guy, Scripture says, gets two talents, so he gets $700,000. And the last guy gets $350,000. He gets one talent. The Word of God says that the master, the owner of the company, and it's a picture of God himself, goes away for a season. And when he returns, He calls this people together, and he goes through the process of finding out what they did with what they've been given. And here's what's the fun part of the story. The Bible says the one who had been given five doubles it, he gets five. The one who had gotten two doubles it, and he gets two more, he gets four. But the one guy who had been given one shows up and says, I know you're a tough guy to work for, and I was afraid I'd lose it, so I buried it, and here's what you gave me. When we begin to look at that, what happens to us is that, first of all, this story, let me just warn you, first of all, this story and the principles found in this story are going to go against most of the things that we believe. So I'm gonna mess your world up today, because this passage of Scripture messes with us. Let's just drill down into it. Look in your Bible in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 14 and 15. For the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is talking about when God comes and establishes his kingdom upon this earth. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is here. It's already here, okay? For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave five, to another two, to another one, to each. Now, I want you to see this part. To each according to his own, you see that next word? Ability. Everybody say ability. Ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Here's number one thing. God gives us according to our ability. Now, I'm going to get in trouble here, and so let's just go ahead and jump in the deep end, right? Here's what. We have a constitution, and in that constitution, it says that all men are created equal, right? Now, I want you to look at me. Don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. In the eye of the law, we are all created equal. I got that. But how many of you know that we are not all equal in ability? right? Remember when Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls? Anybody old enough to remember when Michael played? Those guys, it didn't matter. I mean, they just show up, and I think they could close their eyes and throw the ball to Michael, and he's going to score. Right? And you could say, well, you know, I want to believe. In fact, we had a theologian that I shouldn't quote, and we sure shouldn't quote him after some things in his life. But we had a theologian named R. Kelly. That said, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it night and day. I want to tell you, R. Kelly, you can't fly. And you can't touch the sky. Well, you know, and we had this in the Positive Mental Attitude group, and you know, Zig Ziglar and those guys, and I loved all of them. But they would say, if you can believe it, you can achieve it. That is a bunch of baloney. Right now, today, I can believe I could beat Michael Jordan on the court. He could be in a wheelchair and he would still beat me because white men can't jump. We've got to understand, and this is the scripture talks about this. The Word of God says that we are unwise when we judge ourselves by ourselves. In other words, what it's saying to us is this, is that with what God has entrusted you, with what God has given you, you can't look at somebody else and say, well, I want to be like them. This guy who got one couldn't say, well, if he'd given me five, I'd done something with it. No. The guy who gets two can't say, well, I need five. No, you've got to use the abilities. Your abilities are your skills. It's your talents. It's those things that God has placed down inside of you. See, here's what I want you to understand today. It's up to you and it's up to me to find and develop my abilities. Now, don't miss that. See, because we've got a misconception in our world. We think that, well, it just ought to happen because I'm here. I want to tell you, if you want to be successful, if you want to see great things happen in your life, you are going to have to get out there and do something about it. You're going to have to take your abilities. We have people who come to this church who have taken their abilities in business and built great businesses, who have taken their abilities in athletics and become great athletes, who have done things in so many manners. But then there are other people, and I don't mean to get in your business, but there are other people who are sitting back and going, well, you know, if I was like them. But you're not like them. God didn't make you like them. God made you like you, and He knew what He was doing when He made you like you. He knew what He was doing when He placed you in the family He placed you in. Well, if I'd been born a man, you weren't. Well, if I'd been born a woman, you'd be ugly. Come on, I got to get you loose somehow, right? I mean, if I'd been born this race, no, wait a minute. God, the Bible says, while you were still in your mother's womb, God knew you, He formed you, He made you, and so you've got to quit looking around trying to say if I could be this or, no, you have abilities inside of you that God has placed in you that you've got to pull out and begin to do something with. So it's up to us. See, here's the deal. Look in verse. I'll hurry. The master goes. He comes back. And the Word of God says, again, I told you, the guy who got five got ten. The guy who got two got four. And the guy who's got one says, I got what you gave me. All right? Look in verse 24 and 25. Let's just read it. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man. That's what some people tell me about working for me. Pastor, you just hard to work for. I know. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Now look what he said. And I was afraid. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Now I want to stop right there. Understand that no matter what it is that God has given you, it's still always His. I hid your talent. I hid your ability. I didn't use what you put into my life. I didn't achieve what you gave me to achieve, right? I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now let's go to number two. You ready? Faith, not fear, must rule if you want to achieve what it is God's called you to. See, I meet people all the time who tell me, preacher, when I get my house in order, when I get my life together, I'm going to get saved. What they're saying to me is that I got some stuff, and I'm afraid that if I don't deal with the stuff, God's not going to accept me. Let me just help all of us with that real quick. If you're listening to me today, you're one of the campuses today, or you're here, and you're hearing what I'm saying, or you're watching television, let me just help you. You are never, ever going to get it all together. Not going to happen. So you might as well come just like you are to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, take me, junk, mess, everything I've got, I place it into your hands, and I'm going to come with faith, not fear. See, here's the deal about, let me give you some things about faith and fear. Faith focuses on potential. Right? Faith looks at the situation and says, yeah, I know the economy's bad right now, but I believe that in a bad economy, I can do something great. Do you know that in if you'll study recessions back, if you'll study when Bill Gates began to make his money, was in the middle of a recession. Right? There are people who are saying, oh, it's not the right time. I want to start some. Well, when are you going to start? Well, I'm waiting for the right time. Well, I'm waiting to get married. Well, then you get married. That ain't going to be the right time. And then if you get married, the kiddies come along, and, well, I'm going to wait till the kids get into school. And well, once they get into school, then both of you got to work because you got to get them through school. You all right? And, well, I'm going to wait till they graduate. Well, when they graduate, then you got to put them through 100 years of college because nobody graduates in four anymore. Right? And so there's never that time that's good. But what you have to do, instead of looking with eyes of fear, you've got to look with eyes of faith at the potential. When you look at your life and you say, oh, I'm afraid if I tried this for God, or if I'm afraid if I stepped out, I might fail. Everybody look at Pastor and listen carefully. You will. The only people who aren't failing are 6 feet under. It's just part of life, people. Failure is going to happen. But I learned a long time ago, failure is not fatal. Let me give you another one. Failure is not a person, it's an event. All right? Because there's a lot of people that are, I'm a failure. No, 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 you had an event of failure. You had a business that went bankrupt. You started a profession that didn't work. You had a marriage that didn't work out. That's not who you are. That's just an event of your life. So faith focuses on potential. Fear focuses on loss. I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. I'm afraid I'm going to. And it's what this guy, I've been given something. What is it you've been given in your life? What ability, what talent, what has God placed inside of you that he wants you to use, but you are fearful that if you try it, you might fail? So we're fearful of loss. That's where this guy is. Secondly, faith believes God. Fear believes people. Don't miss it. The Bible says if God is for you, who can be against you? I can tell you who. Your family. Y'all okay? I'll answer the question. It didn't answer, but I'm going to answer it for you. I'm going to tell you who's going to be against you. Your friends. The people who are small-minded in your life. Because you try, I don't know if this is true. I need to look this up, but I read somewhere years ago that they said when people go out and hunt crabs, that they never have to put a lid on the bucket. Now follow this. They never have to, because if they get more than one crab in the bucket, you ready? When that crab starts climbing up the side of the bucket, the other crab reaches up and pulls it back. Some of y'all been hanging out with some crabby people. Hallelujah. Because every time you about start to get out of the boat, they pull you back. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? You think you're going to do what? You're going to start that? You're going to have a business? You're going to go into ministry? You're going to do something great for God? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Do you know who you are? Yeah. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's who I am. That's who you are. The Word of God says that you have been given everything that pertains to life and to godliness. In other words, in your world, everything you need has already been given to you. What you and I have got to do is come to that place where we learn not to listen to people, but to listen to God. The third thing is this, is that faith fights through the problem. Fear gives up quickly. That's what this guy did. He looked at it and he said, wow, my master's kind of tough. The owner of the company, he's kind of rough to get along with. I'm afraid that I might lose it. So he takes it and he puts it in the ground. Fear always has you putting things in the ground. Fear has a way of killing you quicker than anything. The obstacle is not the thing that's going to stop you from reaching your destiny with God. Don't miss that. It's not the problem that you're up against that's going to keep you from being everything that God wants you to be. What's going to keep you from being everything that God wants you to be is fear. And fear and faith cannot coexist. The Bible says you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So when I dwell in fear, it means my mind's messed up. And people say, well, you know, fear is just an acronym for, and they give all these things. Ever heard that? They give, a false evidence appearing real. Ever heard that? I want to tell you, that's baloney. Because sometimes it's not false evidence. I want to tell you, if you're out in the jungle and a lion's roaring at you, that's not false evidence. That's real. All right? So there are some things that you're going to go through in your life that is going to produce the moment that you can fear, but it's going to be up to you whether or not you choose fear or faith in that moment. Look in verse 26 and 27. It goes on to say, it says, but his Lord or the owner of the company answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. He wasn't very nice, was he? You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have at least gone to the bank and gave it to the bankers. And when I got back, I'd get some interest out of it. All right? Now, here's you ready for number three? It requires work to increase. Okay, here we go. I'm going to get in trouble. You don't get a trophy just because you showed up. I'll wait. Sometimes, I know we don't want to hurt little Johnny and little Susie's feelings, but sometimes you really ought to keep score. Because when you get beat 328 to nothing, you really might ought to know that and not get a trophy when you go home. Just a thought. See, we live in a world. Y'all ready? All right, let me just do it this way, because I don't want to make you mad. I was in the car the other day, and a commercial came on, and the commercial was for mattresses. And here's, I don't remember the whole thing about the commercial, but here's what it said, and it caught me as I was driving down the road. The commercial said that I deserved a wonderful night's sleep. And before I knew it, I was screaming at the radio. Anybody ever do that when you're by yourself? Am I the only one? I was yelling. And I said, I don't deserve anything but to sleep on the ground. Uh-oh, you're looking at me. That's how the majority of the world spends their night. That's what I deserve. Uh-oh, you. I don't deserve anything but death. Because I've sinned, and the scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the only thing that I deserve is nothing, but because of the grace of God, I get the opportunity to experience what He's done for me. All right? And so I don't walk around in a haughty manner and go, I deserve this. You don't deserve a cell phone. I told you I was going to mess it up. Well, everybody deserves this, that, or the other. No, we don't. Can I just say something to you, not hurt you too bad? The Word of God says, my level of success is dependent on me. Well, you know, they're just keeping me down. Nobody can keep you down. Oh, yes, they can. No, they can't. If God's for you, He's on your side. The Bible says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I knew we were going to like this. Here's what God says. God calls it wicked not to use what He's given you. And that's not like wicked like teenagers use it now. That's like evil. God says it's evil not to use what He's given you. And so we've got all these people in our world, in our nation, around us all the time, and they just feel like, well, you know what? I just deserve, I came to work. What'd you do? I came to work. Well, did you accomplish? I came to work. Well, sweetie, God love you. But if you want to be successful, you got to do something. Y'all ready? You okay? Nobody owes you anything. It's up to you to determine whether or not you're going to achieve. Listen, I'm not saying some of you don't have some strikes against you for whatever reason, but what I'm saying to you is, first of all, understand this. God knew how He was making you. Isn't that interesting? And I want us to understand this, that you didn't choose how you were going to be born. If you're a white person, you're not better than somebody else because you got born with less pigmentation. If you're a person that's a little bit darker, that doesn't mean that, well, I missed out. No. God knew exactly what He was doing when He created you. Be thankful for how God created you, but never feel like you're better than somebody else because of your skin color, because of your ethnicity, because of where you came. That is all just because God said, this is what I want you to be. And if He wanted you to be that, you're the only one who can be that. But you can be powerful being that. It's just up to you. I got to hurry. Look in verses 28 and 29, excuse me. Therefore, take the talent. Take the $350,000 from him. Oh, no, I need to stop because Jesus just needs to come right now. Because I am so going to mess it up. Because what I'm going to teach right now, it's just antithetical. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. It's in the Bible. It is totally antithetical to anything that we believe in America. Y'all ready? Because I told you I was going to make you upset before I got done today. I warned you. All right? If we had taught this story, we would have taken from the one who had 10. Yes, we would. Yes, we would. And we'd say, I don't care that they used their ability and their talent and got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and worked hard all day and you know did whatever it was they were called to do and increased that. They've got more and I've got less. See, we got you ready? We got all these people who are upset about the one percenters. Y'all okay? And I just keep saying the reason that we're upset about the one percenters is because we're not one of them. Because if you were one of the one percenters, you wouldn't be upset at the one percenter. Now, I'm not one of the one percenters, but I'm not upset at them. All right? Because here's what I know, is that according to Scripture, God has given us different abilities. You say, well, I think we're just all equal. Okay. Tomorrow, you got to have open heart surgery. Y'all ready? But we're all equal. I'm going to go down here and find the butcher at Kroger. I mean, he's familiar with cutting stuff up. He knows how to slice things and take things apart. And I'm going to just bring him in. In fact, we're not even going to take you to the hospital. We're just going to go to the butcher shop. I mean, you know, if you got to have open heart surgery, you're going to find the best surgeon that's been doing. In fact, you don't want to be his first patient. You want to know he's had a few successful surgeries, right? And so when we begin to understand this, what we see is that according to that passage of Scripture, is that you can always increase what you have. Doesn't matter. You don't reach a maximum in the kingdom of God. Whatever your abilities, whatever your talents, whatever it is that God has given you. But the Scripture says, to the one who had been given 10, he was given more. He took for the one who had one. I mean, it didn't start off fair in the first place, Jesus. I mean, if we'd done the story, everybody had gotten 5. Because we like to be fair. If you don't believe you like to be fair, you've taught your kids to be fair their entire life. Right? In fact, if there's one piece of cake left and there's 2 kids, you'll look at one of them and say, you cut it and give your sister the biggest portion. That is the most precise that little boy has ever been in his life. Because we want to be fair. And yet the Word of God says the one who got the most was given more. I mean, at least we would have taken it and given it to the guy with 4. Because at least now he's got half of what the guy with 10 has. Here's what I think the Scripture is saying to us. The more we develop what we have, the more potential we have to receive. Okay? The more I do with what I've got, the more potential I have to receive more into my life. We've got to come to that place where we understand that God has blessed us, that God has given, the Bible says, exceeding great and precious promises to us. But it's up to us whether or not we're going to increase. We have got to get past the point, and again, I know I'm going to not be some people's favorite pastor today, but we have got to get past the entitlement mentality in our nation. We have got to come to the place where we understand it is not a scriptural principle there is no scriptural principle of entitlement. Now, the Bible says to be good to them who are poor. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with somebody who is down and out being taken care of. I think we ought to do that. I have no problem in doing that. But what I do have problem is when we come to that place where we develop a lifestyle where we live generation to generation expecting somebody else to pull us out of our poverty. It is not going to happen at any area of your life until you change your thinking and say, God has placed some things down inside of me and I am equipped to do whatever it is that God has called me to do. Let me close. Look in verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever heard this? We'll wrap up. Have you ever heard this that people say, well, the only thing that God requires of us is to be faithful? Ever heard that? Well, I hear a lot of pastors use that all the time. Pastors, the church hadn't grown in 20 years, and they said, well, the Lord didn't call me to grow a church, He just called me to be faithful. They need to read up in that story because the only people that are called faithful in the story are the ones who doubled. When he looks at the guy who's got 5 and he gets 10, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Guy got 2, he gets 4. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The guy who gets 1, he doesn't call him faithful. He says, you're evil. He says, I'm casting you into outer darkness. See, here's what I want to say about that. God takes His gifts seriously. The Word of God says that you and I one day, listen to me, you and I one day are going to stand before God in judgment and we're going to give an account for everything we've ever done. Now, if that don't keep you up at night, nothing will. See, God entrusts you with what you're going to need in your life. He gives it to you. Well, I just didn't have what I needed to take care of my life. Yes, you did. Either that or God's word's not true. God gives it to all of us. But it takes work to be successful. It doesn't matter what that is. If I want to be successful in my marriage, it takes work. Pastor, I've lost that loving feeling. That was a song back in the day, but everybody's going to know what I'm going to say. Well, Pastor, you got to understand. Let me just say it this way, Pastor. I still love them, but I'm not. Oh, y'all have heard it too. I'm not in love with them. I got a question for you. Another great theologian. What's love got to do with it? What we mean when we make that statement is, first of all, it means we got our eye on somebody else. Uh-oh, help me, Lord. And number two, it means the goosebumps aren't running up and down and we not, got our hormones rushing out of our head. And so I love them, but I'm not in love with them. Listen, I want to tell you, if you're going to have a successful marriage, you got to work at it. If you're going to be successful in your profession or in your business or whatever it is you do for a living, you are going to have to work at it. It's not going to happen just because you show up and smile pretty, unless you're a model. It's part of understanding that the scripture is quite clear that we've got to work to be successful. Let me say this. I am only accountable for what I've been given. I'm not going to give an account for what you've been given. Or what somebody over here, you can't look across the congregation, or those of you at a campus, look across the congregation there and say, well, no, you're not accountable for what they've been given. You're accountable for what you've been given. Right. What has God placed in your life? See, every one of us have been given life, and we're accountable to God what we do with that life. And the first thing that God wants us to do with that life is that He wants us to give it to Him. Amen. He gave it to us, and now He wants us to return it to Him. He wants us to come to Him and say, Lord, I have been living my own life my own way, and today I come to You and I cast my cares upon You because I know You care for me. And I need to be saved today. That's what that word is. That's what He wants first of all. And then after that, He begins to lead us in everything. So let me give you three things as I close. Number one is, what have I been given? What have you been given? What is it that God's placed in your life? If you don't know what that is, then begin to research, begin to pray, begin to ask God to show you what it is that He's placed in your life. Number two is, am I doing what I can to develop what I've been given? Or do I just think it's going to happen by osmosis or something? If I want to be used by God, I've got to work at it. If I want to be blessed financially, I've got to work at it. If I want my profession, if I want to achieve something in my profession, I've got to work at it. Number three is this, do I realize that I am accountable to God? Every one of us, we're accountable with this life. This life is it is so wonderful that you have been given life upon this earth. And your one life can make such a difference. But it all starts at an old rugged cross. It all starts on your knees saying, Lord, I need You to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And once I've made that choice, then I can begin to live what Jesus said. I can begin to live life and it abundantly when I make that decision. Amen.